The West Live. The West Live with Ben O'Shea.
In the week before Anzac Day, and just days after Prime Minister Scott Morrison announced a royal commission into the tragic issue of veteran suicides, it appears the Department of Veteran Affairs has, very quietly, made a change to a program that funds vital health care for vets. Joining me now is Lorna Cook, Director of Chemo at Home. Good morning, Lorna.
Good morning, Ben. How are you?
Good, thank you. Now, can you tell us what the situation is?
Yes. Chemo at Home is a company that I founded with my business partner some 8 years ago. We treat patients in the community. Our nurses treat patients with chemotherapy and immune therapy and other medical infusions they might need. We've been doing that successfully around the country for 8 years, and because of the need by a lot of veterans who've been asking for this treatment, DVA entered into a contract with us some 3 years ago. Then in the middle of COVID, suddenly they said, please don't admit any more patients. We're just reviewing what you do. And we said, okay. And then the week before Anzac Day, they sent an email and said, we've decided that your community nursing service now does not fit within the scope of our community nursing service funding, and please cease all operations on DVA patients.
And now,
so
were you
that
given...
was on the Friday, and on the Monday we were inundated with calls from distressed veterans saying DVA have called us and said, please go back to the hospital, you can't have your chemotherapy at home anymore.
Are we given any information as to why it was no longer within the scope of the community nursing program?
No, not really.
So you're really left in the dark.
It didn't come within their scope, yes.
Yeah, right. And so can you give me an idea of why this type of at-home care is important?
Yes. So this is the trend worldwide to move treatment into the community. You might know the federal government health reforms have been moving groups of patients into the community. So the initial one was mental health. All those patients started moving into the community. The next one was rehab. So, you know, orthopaedic rehab patients had hospital care and then went home. And now the next one is cancer services. So this has been a movement that's been coming for the last 10 years or so. We were at the head of the curve, but they've had home chemotherapy for many years in the UK, for example. So it's very expensive having patients in hospital, and moving patients where they're more comfortable, where there's less risk of infection, where they can get good one-to-one care like ours is very important, especially for older people. And cancer is predominantly a disease of the elderly. So this service means patients can avoid going to hospital. You know, the difference between hospital and the home, which is what Silver Chain do very well. They have patients go home from hospital and have treatment. But what we are is hospital avoidance. So some of our patients have never had their chemotherapy in a hospital. They avoided hospital and came straight home to us. So they're very comfortable and happy. All the major health funds, you know, pay for private patients to have their chemotherapy at home, and many public patients have their chemotherapy at home. It's a pity now that veterans can't have their chemotherapy at home.
Now, are you aware if any other at-home treatment services are also impacted by this, or as far as you're aware, is it just chemo at home?
No, the statement from DVA said that it was all providers. I don't know that there are very many, but I haven't been in contact with the smaller groups that are in the eastern states, but they did say it was any hospital substitution treatment services.
And this change has been made without really any justification.
Correct.
So I can imagine it's very challenging for you to be left in the dark. How do you think the people who've been receiving this treatment are feeling right now?
I know how they're feeling. They phone me and they tell me. I've had very upset patients, and we haven't been allowed to admit patients for the last 9 months since DVA have been doing their review. And so we know we've missed many patients that haven't had access to the service. But the patients that we do have, and at the moment there's, well, more than a dozen in Perth that we have been treating, they're so distressed because some of them, their chemotherapy is due this week or next week, and we're not allowed to treat them. Well, we are allowed to treat them. We're not allowed to be funded for them. And so as many as we can, we will continue to treat them for free. What can we do? We can't let our veterans, you know, be so distressed. And with lockdown and the uncertainty of COVID, they're very upset having to go back into a hospital. Like, some of them catch a train to get there, and we can't do that. So we're just a medium-sized business that we will treat those patients as best we can.
It sounds like that's quite a cost on your business. And so we're talking about people who have compromised immune systems, so it's understandable that they wouldn't want to go to a hospital when Perth has just been in a COVID lockdown and there could be COVID out in the community. But I'm curious to know, like, what are the options now for these veterans? Because I'm sure that when you've been receiving this type of in-home treatment for potentially a couple of years, that routine would be very valuable, and the idea of all of a sudden that being taken away, how difficult is that, and how challenging will it be for them to be incorporated into the health system, going back into hospitals?
Well, you'll have to ask the big hospitals how overcrowded they are at the moment, which I hear is a lot. The patients tell us they're having difficulty getting booked in. We know of at least one patient who said it was just all too hard because she has 7 treatments a month. And so she stopped treatment, but we've scooped her up. How can we let her go? So we'll be treating her for free.
It sounds like, personally, this is also very difficult for you to see the impact on the patients.
Yes, and we've built up a relationship with these patients over the past 3 years that we've been treating them. And it's terrible. It's very sad to have them ring us and their families to ring us and complain, and we're like, we're so sorry. It's out of our hands. There's nothing we can do.
And what would you like to see happen now?
I'd love to see DVA review or explain what's happening, or to go back and have another think about it and the impact this has. Or at least come and talk to us and see what we do so they can be reassured of the high-quality nursing service that their veterans do receive.
Lorna Cook, Director of Chemo at Home, thanks for sharing your story this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Now we're going to talk to one of the West Aussie veterans impacted by this change, Len Carr. G'day, Len.
Yeah, good morning.
Now, how are you feeling right now?
Angry and frustrated.
Yeah. Now, but before we get into this situation, can you tell us a bit about your service to Australia?
Yeah, as a 17-year-old, I joined the Royal Australian Navy on the 21st of August 1979. I served for 31 years full-time service, and then decided to discharge in 2010. And from there, I was transferred to the active reserves, where I served to current day. I did some continuous service full-time contracts and then reserve days when it was available.
I think by any measure, anyone would consider that to have certainly done your duty for the nation. And now, can you tell us a little bit about your health situation, Len?
Yeah, unfortunately, I became ill in 2018 while I was under a continuous full-time service contract with the Navy, and in the end, I was diagnosed with bowel cancer in the small intestine, which was very rare. I had an emergency operation at Murdoch Hospital, and the surgeon was confident that he had removed the cancer. The recommendation was to have 6 months chemotherapy, which I commenced at Subiaco St John of God. And then my oncologist then transferred to Murdoch, so I continued my chemotherapy there. On completion of 6 month chemotherapy, the recommendation was to have a PET scan and a CAT scan just to ensure that they got everything. And unfortunately, another cancer was revealed, another growth was revealed in my peritoneal lining. And the recommendation there was to have a full peritonectomy, which was done in 2019, in November 2019. During that peritonectomy, which was a 10.5 hour operation, and during that operation, you completely opened up, and I was flooded with chemo for 90 minutes to try and catch any particles. But unfortunately, during the operation, it was decided that they found other parts of the disease, which was inoperable. So when I woke up, my surgeon explained to me that I had terminal cancer, and my surgeon gave me 12 months, and my oncologist reviewed it, and he gave me 18 months. And that was in November 2019. So the recommendation was to go on to palliative chemotherapy, and my oncologist then contacted DVA and requested that I could get this done at home. And I commenced that chemotherapy February last year, and it was going very, very well. Up until last week, I got a phone call from DVA, who informed me that it was to cease due to a funding issue. I believe that community nursing funding didn't cover what I was going through, and they said that hospital funding would then take over. And unfortunately, our hospital funding would not fund me to have my immunotherapy and chemotherapy done at home. So at the moment, I've got no idea what's happening. I've had no official correspondence from DVA, nothing. It was just a quick phone call to tell me the situation had changed. And, the words I had with the person on the phone wasn't extremely pleasant. I was extremely angry and frustrated, and the phone call was terminated.
Well, I think you're well and truly justified. It sounds like it's been absolutely terrible situation that you've gone through. Now, the DVA, the Department of Veteran Affairs, is a government agency that exists to serve your needs. It's meant to be in the best interests of veterans. Do you believe that that is the case?
Very hard question to answer. I'm only going to go with my personal dealings with DVA, which hasn't been very pleasant. It's been a struggle. Everything I've done with DVA has mostly been negative. There have been some positive things that have happened, but mostly frustrating. There's very little communication. It's the only time I communicate with DVA is if I ring them. Not once. During my circumstances, the DVA rang me and asked me if I was okay, or is my family okay? Is my wife okay? They just keep coming up with, different ideas of how I should be treated. I don't understand it. It's, I just get the feeling that DVA is a government tool that that the government can then insist that the veterans of Australia justify their existence.
And so why do you think they've made this decision? Is it just the almighty dollar?
Yeah, look, I'm not exactly sure. It's just the only words that I remember that they were telling me was funding, that one department couldn't fund it and another department will fund it. Unfortunately, you cannot have it at home. So basically I have to get, with the injections that I have, sometimes I have bad side effects and sometimes it's quite normal. So normally every time I go to the hospital, I take my wife with me, and every time she's had to drive me home. The cancer wards are brilliant. Don't get me wrong. They are at Murdoch and Subiaco. They are excellent people. Very, very good. But having the service at home, in the comfort of your own home, and in a pleasant environment, was extremely important for me, particularly with terminal cancer. But for me, after 42 years service, you get a fairly thick skin. So basically, it is what it is, and I'll just deal with it. that the people from if you view health at Canterbury Home, they are extraordinary people. Extraordinary.
I know you say you got a thick skin, Len, but I can tell that this is clearly such a difficult situation. My heart goes out to you, mate.
It is what it is. You know, like I look at it in a way that I'm rapidly approaching 60 in December. I've served my country for 42 years, and it's been an absolute privilege. You go to these cancer wards and you see young kids, young girls with breast cancer or something, and I look at it, I'll live the life of 10 men. You just get on with it and you deal with it.
The Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, himself was in tears when he was in Perth talking about bringing troops back from Afghanistan. He's called a Royal Commission into the tragic issue of veteran suicides.
Yeah.
He certainly makes out publicly that the welfare of veterans is important to him. Do you have a message for Scott Morrison?
Not that I could say on radio, no. Look, he's our Prime Minister, and I serve him. So I've got the greatest respect for the Prime Minister of Australia, don't get me wrong. However, I look at the Australian veterans, particularly the Army, that have come back from Afghanistan. Obviously, there's a board of inquiry now, as we all know. But the thing is that no one's been found guilty in relation to that. And unfortunately, I think everybody knew and everybody witnessed the Prime Minister of Australia get on his knees and apologise to Afghanistan, and all of a sudden the checkbook come out and they were being reimbursed for, alleged atrocities. Why isn't that same checkbook going out to our veterans? That's the frustrating part. I don't understand it. This is my personal opinion. This is nothing to do with my service or anything like that. That's just me. And I was gutted. I was angered. I was furious. But on the other side, as I said, he's the Prime Minister of Australia, and I have that respect for him.
And we just had Anzac Day on the weekend. I'm curious to know, do the words "lest we forget" have a bit less meaning for you based on how the DVA has treated you?
No. The words "lest we forget" is what we say to each other, that we don't forget about past sacrifices, that we don't forget about our veterans, and we don't forget about the personnel that are now currently serving. Anzac Day's got nothing to do with DVA. Anzac Day is a very prideful day for serving members and for all Australians, actually, who support us. So, in relation to Anzac Day, leave DVA out of it.
Len Carr, we thank you for your service, and we sincerely hope that there can be a positive outcome to whatever that might be in this situation. Thank you for sharing your story on The West Live today.
Thank you very much for having me.
And now, while we've been on air, we have actually received a response from the Minister for Veteran Affairs, Darren Chester, who has advised us that his office is currently investigating this situation and has said that veterans who have been impacted in Perth, he believes there are about 11 veterans who are impacted by this reduction in the at-home care, will be contacted, and their ongoing treatment will be funded and insured. So we're still waiting to get 100% confirmation of that, but the Minister, Darren Chester, is investigating and has promised to do his best for those veterans, which is as good an outcome as we can hope at this stage.